On the Wintrust Business Lunch, say hello to Tom Gimbel, the founder and CEO at LaSalle Network. TheLaSalleNetwork.com is the website, and performance reviews are the topic. Did they go away during the pandemic, Tom?
Yeah, a lot of companies stopped doing it during COVID because they didn't know how to evaluate people when they weren't actually seeing them. And we went through this phase where human resources was actually more valuable than most people give it credit for. And it is a very valuable function in the company. But the concept of between the social unrest, between the scare of the pandemic, the health and all these things, that so many companies and so many hiring managers were afraid to add one more wrinkle to this. So as businesses recovered from that blip in the second quarter of 2020, business was going well. Things were going great. Everybody was making money. And employers didn't want to have people quit with record low unemployment. So a lot of performance reviews got put on the back burner.
What's happened since? What's happening now?
So now we've got, so many companies have a hybrid workforce. They've got people back in the office 2 to 3 days a week, if not more. And we have the pandemic. I understand COVID's it's still here, but it is not the danger that we anticipated 2 years ago. And with the social unrest, while it's still real, those issues, the wound isn't as bloody as it was 2 summers ago. And now companies can manage people. And now as we're seeing interest rates go up, the market slows down, people are worried about the economy, now performance reviews are coming back that companies can say, listen, there's an expectation here. These are going to be maybe some tough times ahead, and we need to know who our top people are, and we're going to let you know where you rank. And they are coming back in full force.
Is this different for employees at home versus employees in the office?
Well, I think the difference is that they're based on performance. There's no doubt about that, and they're based on at certain jobs and activity level, which can be measured through technology. However, there is an aspect of teamwork and collaboration, and those are the things that what gets a kid a C+ to a B- in school, or an A+ to a B+ to an A-. And as I always told my kids, make sure that first week of school you go up and introduce yourself to that teacher and they know who you are and they see you in the front row. Because if you're not good in that subject and you're borderline, they will give you the benefit of the doubt if they believe you're trying really hard. Out of sight can be out of mind.
Yeah.
And that's one of the big reasons that I think that being in the office is so valuable.
Yeah, I was just going to wonder if I was getting a bad performance review or if I got one, I think I would start to come in 4 or 5 days a week rather than one or two.
Just had that conversation with somebody yesterday of saying, why wouldn't somebody do that? And they think that the unemployment level is still so low that people are still like, you know what, there's another job for me tomorrow. But I think, I just saw that locally in Chicago, right, Foxtrot laid off 5% of their workforce this week. And so you see some more of these companies that are doing that, and I think that the tables are starting to turn a little bit. And, again, just my opinion. We're a hybrid company. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Monday, Friday are optional. But I tell career seekers and job seekers as well as employers that, you don't want to be left standing when the music stops. And if the commute is what gets in your way, then you just got to remind yourself, if you're ever in the unemployment line, that you chose that over something else.
Tom Gimbel, founder and CEO at LaSalle Network. Click on the LaSalle Network. .com. We'll click on you next week. Thank you, Tom.
You got it, John. Stay healthy.
Jim Dahlke is a senior editor at Chicago Inno. We talk about the tech sector with him a lot, and we'll do that again today. Let's start with the Chicago startup Cameo, which I thought Cameo had kind of run into a rough patch here, Jim. What's their status these days?
Yeah. Hey, John. So that's right. Chicago and Cameo, the startup is really become the city's most preeminent tech startup. It really, over the years, has grown to be kind of the most notable tech firm in town. They got a $1 billion valuation just last year when they raised $100 million. And, of course, this is the app that connects you with famous faces. So you can get a celebrity shout-out right to your phone by paying a few bucks to a handful of notable folks. And, like you mentioned, they ran into a little bit of trouble earlier this year cut about 25% of their staff in a round of layoffs. The CEO, Stephen Galanis, called it a right-sizing, as kind of language we're hearing from a lot of executives in the startup land these days who are kind of going through some tricky waters. But you know, what's interesting about Cameo, recently, as of last week, they officially announced the opening of a brand new headquarters here in Chicago. And what's kind of interesting about this is that, you know, Cameo really was sort of the poster child for remote work. This was a business in the beginning of the pandemic that was on the forefront of saying, we do not need a physical office. We are going completely remote. The founder told me, you know, they were on the verge of signing a new lease in the West Loop. And, you know, we're really, you know, about to sign on the dotted line. And then, you know, completely left that to go and said, hey, we're going to go completely remote. So what's interesting here is that now, you know, it's a bit of a 180. The company comes back into the workplace. This is a physical space now where the Chicago team can get together, can work on projects, and, you know, kind of shows a little bit of the remote work trend is starting to reverse itself also, albeit maybe a little slightly.
So they're moving over to the old Sports Authority building in River North. How many people do they employ now? What's their numbers like?
Yeah, they're around 300 folks. They got a Chicago team, has about more than 50 full-timers. I know their employee count is an interesting one, actually. You know, the company's workforce, you know, looks a little differently than it did, you know, pre-COVID. About 70% of their employees were in Chicago, and pretty much almost everybody was either in Chicago or Los Angeles. Now their Chicago workforce is just 22%. So even though the company is much bigger than it was, you know, pre-pandemic, even though they did go through the small round of layoffs, their percentage of Chicago employees is way down. And of course, the reason for that is, you know, with a largely remote workforce, you can, you know, continue to, you know, hire from all over the country. Although now they say with this physical Chicago footprint, they are going to focus on some Chicago-specific hires, and they've got some on their site listed already.
I wonder if when companies say, I mean, it always sounds great as an employee, I can work from anywhere. If I work for, say, Cameo, and it's a digital platform anyway, I wonder if then you have to pay somebody less who's living in rural Kansas. Or if they say, no, I'm going to live wherever I want to live, the job should pay what the job should pay. How do companies like Cameo handle that? Do you know?
Oh, that's a great question. I think that's what not just startups, but all companies are sort of grappling with that exact question of how to you know, pay people fairly, you know, cost of living adjustments, et cetera. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, for one, for Cameo, it was a huge cost savings, obviously, when they went completely remote, right? So they can hire from anywhere, you know, the salaries can, you know, be reflected in that. But, you know, they saved a ton of money by not having a physical real estate. So clearly by reinvesting in physical offices, they see, hey, there's a real value here. And, you know, actually the CEO, Stephen Galanis, was saying, you know, earlier, you know, like late last year, they did a test of this. They got their employees back into Chicago. They had a bit of an on-site for a couple weeks at 1871, actually, where they brought their sales team back in person, back in office, and basically did a bit of a couple-week trial run back in the office. And they found that their employees were actually more productive in office than they were completely remote. So, hey, it's, you know, a small sample size, but, hey, this is clearly an example of a startup that said, hey, we're going to go remote. Whoops, it looks like we are a bit more productive back in the office. Let's try this in-office thing.
Next Gen Foods, what's the news with them?
Yeah, Next Gen Foods, this is an interesting one. So this is a plant-based food startup, actually launched in Singapore back in 2020. They just announced that they are opening their U.S. headquarters here in Chicago. So they are the makers of Tyndall, which is a plant-based chicken product. This is a product that's gotten its way into more than 1,000 restaurants across the world, and including some here in Chicago. And Next Gen Foods is going to be setting up shop in the Hatchery here in Chicago, which is a food and beverage incubator in town. Really great space. They have kind of been the focal point of a lot of food and beverage innovation. Tons of startups have kitchen space in the Hatchery. It's a great space for kind of any kind of emerging food startup to get off the ground. And now they're going to be home for Next Gen Foods as well as they continue to grow out their U.S. presence. And, you know, Chicago has over the years kind of really planted its flag and said, hey, we are the place for food innovation and food startups. And this is appears to be yet another example of that.
Just one more story. Talk to me a little bit about Chicago's Discovery Partners Institute.
Yeah, they had a bunch of news, of course, last week, big renderings for this space. This is a research hub in the South Loop. And they got a partnership with CVS and a tech training initiative where they're going to be training as many as 2,500 folks for tech roles in Chicago. And CVS specifically is going to be hiring 200 tech jobs here in the city based on that initiative. So DPI expects to break ground in 2024 and finish construction in 2026. But yeah, it should be a big important role here for, you know, hiring, especially as folks continue to plug in with DPIs. They look to, you know, connect with, you know, the University of Illinois school system and researchers in town.
All interesting reading as always. Thank you, Jim Dahlke, senior editor at ChicagoInno.com. We'll talk next week, Jim.
Thanks, John.
On WGN Radio, in this segment, I may have to drink beer. Mike Marr is the owner and brewmaster at Buffalo Creek Brewing. And in Long Grove, they're going to have an Oktoberfest post-pandemic. You can tell when it's over when we're able to gather again for something like this. It says here on the flyer, family fun, craft German beer, German food, a bags tournament, German music, a Stein holding contest, a raffle, even yodeling. Well, it sounds like you've got all your boxes checked there, Mike.
I think we do. We've got actually some of our employees are in Munich right now, practicing up before they get back here on Thursday.
Practicing their yodeling?
They're yodeling, they're steinholding, making sure they actually know how to drink beer.
So tell me a little bit about this. Let's start with your beer. Tell me about Buffalo Creek Brewing.
Buffalo Creek Brewing, we specialize in German and Belgian style beers, stuff that people have been drinking for hundreds of years. And this year we have our Oktoberfest. We have I think we sent you guys a couple cans of Long Grove Lager and our Angelic Helles.
Right.
Which are some nice German beers to enjoy.
Yeah, and I've got those cans in front of me right now. 4.9% ABV, 5.0% ABV, so not super alcoholic beers. What are the trademarks of German beers?
The German beers, we specialize in a lot of lagers. So those are nice, clean, crisp beers that people can enjoy over and over again. And not get too drunk and, you know, be able to have a good time and celebrate the Oktoberfest.
So our Oktoberfest, I know this will sound like a stupid question, but it seemed to me like a lot of them were in September. Yours is going to be in October, isn't it?
Ours starts September 30th and goes through October 2nd. Most of them are in September. Germany, the Oktoberfest actually ends on the first Monday, which is a national holiday over there in October.
I see.
So we're kind of wrapping it up. And one of the reasons why we do ours a little later is usually I'm over in Germany for Oktoberfest. And so I have fun over there and then I come back here and put on a show.
Really? No kidding. What a nice perk maybe of your profession. You've got to go to Germany and drink beer because it's what you do. When you go over there, what do you do? What do you learn?
The last time I was there, I ended up in the Löwenbräu tent and they ended up putting me upstairs with all the other brewers from around the world. And so much fun. You're up there, you know, it's clink, clink, drink, clink, clink, drink. And everybody was having fun. Everyone's very comfortable with themselves. Everyone it's just generally a great time. The food's fantastic. The beer's fantastic. And all the Oompa music. And believe it or not, in Germany, most of the songs are, you know, all the American songs that we sing here.
Yeah, it was funny. Where were we? We were somewhere in Europe, and we went to like an authentic, was it in Germany? It wasn't in Germany. Anyway, wherever we were in Europe, and we go to this bar, pub, restaurant, and there's music that's going to come out, and they sang the Monkees. They were doing Monkees songs. I went,
oh, yeah.
I can get that in Long Grove. I don't need to go to Germany and hear somebody cover Davy Jones. So tell me a little bit about what's going to happen then in Long Grove. Where is the Oktoberfest and what are y'all going to serve up?
So the Oktoberfest is here at the brewery. We have the entire backyard or beer garden all tented. We have the stage set up. We're going to have three different bands. So we're going to have one on Friday to kind of start it off, and then two on Saturday. We're going to be showing the Bears game on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. And then the we'll have Reps Place, Harmony, and the Lake Zurich Rotary is going to be here. They'll be having lots of games. The Harmony and Reps Place will be serving all the food. So we've actually made a couple special requests where they actually make those heart cookies that say Prost and I love you and Oktoberfest. They're kind of like the gingerbread cookies. They have a string on them that you can wear around your neck.
Oh, wow.
And so I've had them make those. And Reps Place is doing all the German food with the bratwurst, the knackwurst, the thuringers, the German potato salad. So it's we try to make everything as authentic as possible.
Man, you're killing me with these menu items because it's about lunchtime. So it's at your brewery then, huh? You're going to do this?
It is here at the brewery, yes.
Got it. Okay, Buffalo Creek Brewing in Long Grove. And you're expecting, it says here, several thousand people, huh?
We last year we had about 2,500 people show up over 3 days, and we're thinking it's going to be bigger this year.
And when I go there, what's the house specialty? I mean, I've got a can of the Long Grove Lager here, and then, as you said, the Angelic Helles. What else is on tap? What are you especially proud of this year?
Well, our Oktoberfest is a beer that everyone loves. In fact, we will actually run out of it this weekend, unfortunately. It's designed to make it through Oktoberfest, and this year we even released it late, and people have been drinking it faster than we thought. This past weekend, I think we went through 6 or 7 kegs of it.
So your brewery, it's a brew pub then? You've got a traditional menu there as well as your own beers?
We just have our own beers. We are a production brewery versus a brew pub. So we distribute our beer, and for food, we bring in food trucks, or you can order into the local restaurants.
Ah, got it. Okay. Mike Marr is the owner and brewmaster at Buffalo Creek Brewing. Again, it's September 30th, so that would be this weekend, Friday through Sunday then, right? Is that do I got that right?
You got it spot on.
Through October 2nd, and that's at their brewery in Long Grove. Okay. Well, have a great weekend. You've got good weather coming. I like that the Bears game will be on TV. That's kind of I think sometimes people on a Sunday think, do I want to stay in or go out? You can do both, can't you?
You can do both. You can feel like you're in Germany and watch a Bears game.
BuffaloCreekBrewing.com is the website to find out more. Nice to talk to you today, Mike.
Pleasure. Thank you very much.
We've got more business news on the Wintrust Business Lunch with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Rents are still going up in downtown Chicago, but they're moderating some. Consulting and appraisal firm Integra Realty Resources says rent in high-end Class A apartment buildings rose to $3.64 per square foot in the second quarter, a new record high. That's about 6.7% higher than a year earlier, according to Crane. In the first quarter, it was 19.1% higher than a year earlier. Rents in Class B apartments also hit a new record in the second quarter, up 5.2% from a year earlier. The downtown occupancy rate hit 95.2% in the second quarter. That's its highest level in nearly a decade. Cook County property owners are bracing for nearly back-to-back tax payments. Second installment should have been due August 1st, but the county fell behind because of problems with switching to a new system linking different offices. A Cook County assessor's spokesperson says bills will likely go out around Thanksgiving, but it's possible the bills won't be sent until December 31st, with payments due 30 days later. The first half of next year's tax bill will still be due March 1st, just a few months later. The late tax bills could mean some property owners won't get normal deductions on federal and state income tax returns. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
With the business of food, Steve Alexander.
Yes, and we're sponsored by the Chevy Silverado HD. Experience your life in HD. Visit ChevyDriveChicago.com. It's harvest time, which means field meals, which are just what they sound like. Meals delivered to the fields so the men and women driving the combines and tractors can keep on going. And here to help is
Deanne Frieders, and I'm a farmer and a food blogger.
Deanne and her family farm near Waterman in DeKalb County, and you can find her on social media as This Farm Girl Cooks. And field meals are a key ingredient, so to speak, in keeping the combines going, aren't they?
Absolutely. There's kind of a science to figuring out how to time everything, kind of tailoring it to your individual farm operation. Some people need something where they can eat with one hand and steer with the other, or even let auto steer do its thing. I'd say the biggest thing, when you, no matter what kind of meal you're feeding, is there's a no knife required rule. So it's got to be able to be eaten with the hands or eaten with the fork.
No knife required?
I learned that the hard way after trying to serve pork chops out there.
Deanne's been preparing field meals and writing about them for over a decade and has pretty much gotten it down. Successes?
Anytime that there's sliders, that's always a good thing. Some German potato salad goes good with the Oktoberfest theme. That's always brings smiles to their faces. And believe it or not, we really like stir fries because everything is there in one bowl. You've got your starch, your vegetables, and your protein.
Sometimes things go wrong because combiners don't always get to the end of the field when the meals are ready to eat.
You've got to have food that's not fussy. It's got to be able to sit and hold for a little bit in a lot of instances.
Deanne is happy to share her successes with you.
I've got a website with over 300 recipes at This Farm Girl Cooks, and then I also am active on Instagram and Facebook.
And as we're running out of time here, let's get a final moment of zen.
My philosophy is cooking is love made visible. There's no right way to do it this fall. The biggest thing is just to put some food in their bellies and it'll all be good.
Deanne Frieders, This Farm Girl Cooks. From the farm to your belly. Oh, this might work as a field meal. It's National Corned Beef Hash Day. It's also National Chocolate Milk Day. That's the business of food on 720 WGN.
Hospitality veteran Keegan Moon, the co-owner of a new spot about to open up downtown Chicago called No Vacancy. Keegan, you're on the Business Lunch. How are you today?
How are we doing?
We're doing well. When do you guys open your doors?
Well, looking to open up November. Different challenges keep popping up. We're still seeing some supply chain issues. Some things are early ahead of schedule. Some things are then behind. But we're looking in November, hopefully, right now.
Is this a gastro pub? How would you describe No Vacancy?
That's my favorite question. The concept of the place is honestly just lack of concept. It's kind of like an elevated dive bar, just kind of your local watering hole. It's your new Cheers. It's at the end of the day, it's just a bar. We're not a sports bar. I have full sports capabilities here, but it's a pub. The whole place is kind of designed just to, for folks to just interact and cater to absolutely everyone. We kind of run the full gamut from beers and spirits. Our wine program's very, very unique. Able to offer wines from, your $12 glass of Sauvignon Blanc up to a couple $100 glass of Saxacaya with some cool technologies we're bringing in. So it's pretty exciting. And That's it, the whole, what's the theme, what's the concept, it's kind of just not something that we're looking at. It's just kind of something to cater to everyone. We don't want you to have to be in the mood for it.
Yeah.
You're always in the mood for it.
So the location, this Wells Corridor of River North would be, I was looking at it on a map because, we used to be in the Tribune Tower. If we'd gone out our front door and gone a few blocks west, or if you're, say, at the Merchandise Mart and go a couple blocks north, for those of you that are trying to find it on a map, that's about where you are, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We're at 509 North Wells. And, yeah, it's kind of just in this, on this strip, it's just kind of like a resurgence of River North. Starting down, almost by Chicago Avenue now, all the way to the river, there's just new businesses, bars, restaurants, shops, coffee shops, just, everybody's been opening up, and there's a lot of new exciting stuff on the strip.
So your concept without a concept bar, do you have a menu as well, or is it just beverages?
No. Yeah. I have a fantastic chef. Name is Zenas White, and he's doing kind of an elevated bar fare menu, but it's back to basics. Everyone these days seemingly has to have 30 different types of aioli on the menu. And let's be honest, everybody knows that it's just a flavored Hellman's mayonnaise. So
hey, hey, back- hey, don't put down good aioli. What are you talking about?
Hey, call a spade yep. what it is. So it's back to basics, but elevated ingredients. The entire menu is based on sharing. So, I mean, even the salad that you can kind of imagine, like miniature salads, like salad sliders almost. So, you know, you can come in and try all the salads. And that's how the menu is. The whole place is kind of designed to be interactive and you know, kind of bringing people together. And that's it. You know, talk to one another. We're in a pub. That's why pubs were started.
Salads and sandwiches and stuff like that. Is there a signature cocktail you like? Are you going to come up with something, forgive me, a little clever along those lines?
We, it's not that we're getting lazy here. No, we...
exactly.
I think that probably my favorite cocktails are banana old fashioned, which is, you know, we use...
Banana old fashioned. I'm getting my head
around that. Banana old fashioned.
I mean, normally you put an orange slice in there, maybe. I know what an old fashioned is. What's a banana got to do with that?
Oh, I mean, you know, kind of change it up a little bit. I thought you wanted us to get a little crafty.
Well, that does sound that. Probably a decent martini, a good Manhattan. What kind of beers do you have on tap?
We're doing 8 beers on tap. We actually have kind of a unique draft system that really hasn't been seen much in the Chicago market. It's from a company called Bottoms Up, and it fills the glassware from the bottom of the glass to the top, giving you kind of a perfect pour, perfect head every time, which is pretty cool. As far as the actual styles of beer, we kind of, again, runs the full gamut. You don't want to cater to absolutely everybody. So, you know, we obviously have our lagers. We have, you know, we're going to be carrying wheat ales, and again, IPAs are kind of where it's at right now.
Yeah, IPAs, you got to have an IPA on tap.
A lot of local stuff. You know, want to take care of our local folks, and then our bottles and cans list is extensive as well. So, again, the whole thing is just designed to kind of cater to everyone's taste.
When you first see, if you haven't, the glasses fill from the bottom up. You look at that, and it's like a magic trick. You can't believe they put the glass down, and then the beer magically starts to come in to the glass from the bottom and fills to the top. And I don't even want to know how that happens, but that may be one of your supply chain issues, getting those magical glasses. But it sounds like the right kind of business in kind of an up-and-coming location, too. That's sort of a hot spot over there. So,
yeah, it really is. I mean, you know, directly across the street, a large restaurant group has taken the former Bottle Blonde space, and they're doing a Michelin-star French restaurant with a Michelin chef from Paris. And, you know, the entire corridor is really, really come a long way, and I've lived in the area for numerous years, and it's exciting to see what's happening.
All right, time's up, Keegan. So what's the date you're going to open your doors?
Looking at November. So we'll hope to see you then.
Call us again, and we'll give you a shout out. Okay.
You got it.
That's Keegan Moon, the co-owner of No Vacancy.